Well, good evening, everyone. This is Joan.
And this is John. Welcome back to our November community get-together. It, of course, is Seating of the Divine, Level 3, Session 22. And, of course, it's November 27th, 2018. As always, we are very pleased to have you with us this evening, and we expect there to be a lot of excitement and fun and learning. So, and sharing, hopefully. Now, before we get started, we wanted to share with you some of the important dates that we have of things coming up. So, number one, of course, is the final teaching session for 2018 will be Tuesday, December the 11th. Of course, normally, you know, the 8 p.m. Central time frame. Number two is our very, very special solstice message for the Seating of the Divine community. And it's going to be hosted by none other than Metatron, Anrita, and Yeshua. Don't think we can get much better than that, folks. And that, of course, is on December the 18th at 8. Now, of course, the big event that's coming up, of course, is going to be January the 1st, 2019. And, of course, that's the time that our silent reflection begins. And number four, registration opens for our 2019 sessions, and that's January the 2nd. And then, finally, the first Seating of the Divine teaching session for 2019 will be April the 9th, 2019. It's kind of difficult to say. Actually, 2018 was much easier. But anyway, that's all we know, and we're giving you that update because that's everything that we have possessed. And Miss Joan has something she'd like to add.
Yes. First of all, I did channel a message for everyone with suggestions of how to navigate through this time of silence. And I will be posting that on your private page. The other thing is, I am in the midst of creating a review sheet of every session and what was covered in that session, like I did last year. I think that's very helpful to refer to certain topics if you want to go back and research, you know, in your files, certain sessions. So that will also be posted on your private page, probably next week sometime. I'll have that all together.
Very good.
Okay.
Glad you stepped up there. Now, tonight, we'll start with a serenity meditation from Archangel Gabriel. And then, of course, that will be followed by our leader for this evening, Charlotte Soto, who will handle an open discussion on the following subjects: the vagus nerve, seed crystals, and the recorder cell. And we're very, very delighted to have her step up, and we're really anxious to see where everything goes. So let's all clap our hands together and take a deep breath and assist Joan in bringing forth our dear friend, Archangel Gabriel.
Greetings. It is I, Gabriel. If you will take a deep breath and get centered in the moment, in your sacred heart, and direct your consciousness into our collective crucible. visualize yourself entering this crucible one by one in the full expression of your divinity, gathering in great joy and love in this beautiful crucible of light. Feel the energetic shift in your space that has occurred the moment you entered this crucible. It provides a very dynamic environment of each member, those in human bodies and those of many realms. Each one individual expressions of that beautiful source energy. Now, take another deep breath and be very present in the moment. And we will begin.
Thank you, Gabriel, for, as always, a great start to our evening. And now we're going to turn the evening over with everybody else's help to Charlotte. Charlotte?
Hello.
You're on.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Here's some of the things that I've been looking at. I want to spend some time talking about the vagus nerve, and then we'll get to the seed crystals and the Crotus cell. And maybe if we still got some time, we might have some discussion around our last class on that inner earth stuff that we're just starting. I'm going to start out by thanking Jana for bringing to our attention that 12 ways of unlocking the powers of the vagus nerve, and I know that's been posted in a number of places. And I want to thank Sandy for some of the research, Sandy and all, on the vagus nerve. Some of this stuff, I'm not going to spend a lot of time reinventing the wheel because this stuff is up on YouTube and Google, and so there will be, I will pass these addresses, I guess you call them, to those things. There's one on the points for the vagus nerve on the foot. There's one for the points on the vagus nerve for the ear. And then there's another connection that was for the master nerve and our cosmic connection that the vagus nerve has. So I will pass these links so that Joan can post them for everyone. So my first question is, what have you found is when you were out there researching? Can I hear anybody?
Now remember, folks, anybody who would like to contribute, it's just *6 to get connected and then *6 to put yourself on mute. So, come on.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hello.
Hi there. So, I'm glad you asked the question about the vagus nerve, and I'm glad that we're going to talk more about it because I've had direct experience with the vagus nerve for a couple of years now, I had to learn about the vagus nerve because of the head-on collision I was in several years ago. It started messing up my vagus nerve about a couple years ago. So I need to know more about it from the perspective of what we're doing. But from my direct experiences, it's an important nerve. I have found out that it controls everything from my blood pressure to what's going on in my gut. And it's responsible for communicating between my head and my lower body, basically, my intestines. And several things along the way, which I recently found out, its connection to my heart and my blood pressure. So I found out it's an extremely important nerve to give a lot of TLC to, and that's what I've been doing now, getting lots of body work specifically around my vagus nerve to keep it open. And when it ain't open, it's very obvious.
Wow.
The end.
Thank you. So you've had some firsthand experience of it not functioning.
Yes.
That's up close and personal.
Yeah. And we're not aware that between its communication to both our sympathetic, which our fight and flight is, that shuts everything down, and our parasympathetic that gets that to send the vagus nerve sends it to the parasympathetic so that it turns these things back on. So that's where I was kind of looking at were some of the other things that we can use. So is there anybody else who wants to make a comment before I add some more information?
I can add it that you could stimulate vagal nerve when you do like a massage of carotid arteries, and the left branch goes anteriorly and the right branch goes posteriorly. It means in the front, the left one, and the right one in the back. And actually there is some discrepancy because I learned that it's very good stimulation with the breathing. You take through the mouth very fast, deep breaths, like a, and very, very, very slowly, slowly exhale also through the mouth. That also adds stimulation to the nerve, to the vagal.
Thank you. Yeah, that was one of the things I had seen too when we were talking about the breathing part of it, that one of the key pieces was to make sure that your exhale was longer than your inhale is one of the things that helps.
And it's very important when you do inhale, it's very fast because, you know, it's like a reaction for the cortisol. And the vagal reaction respond already like a calming it down. And if you make a little break, just pause between inhale or exhale, that will benefit too. And also pause after exhale before you do the very, like a short but very forceful inhale through the mouth.
That's something that we can all easily do.
Wow. You could do it many times a day, like a start with a 3, you could build it up to the 10, and if you could tolerate, just do it during the day 5-10 times, as more as you remember, you could do it. And they say that this nerve could be like a muscle. You exercise and you develop it. And the same with the vagal nerve. If you pay attention to it, it is going to be helpful. It is going to be more active, stronger, and more beneficial.
Yes, and all the research I've done, they're all talking about the tone of the vagus nerve. It's kind of like how strong is it, like you would tone a muscle. The other one that I know I had used in the past, and I learned it many years ago on one of the stress management classes, and that was the one about putting cold water on your face. And what they said is just splash your face with cold water, and as you're doing it, say, I get better and better every day. And around here in my house, the hot water doesn't quite get to the bathroom real fast, so it's real easy for me to run the cold water until it gets warm and splash my face and then wash my hands before doing a massage for people because I have to wait for the hot water to get there anyway. And it's an easy one to do on that one. Any other comments?
Hi, Charlotta. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, as you know, I'm recovering from some whiplash, and I'm wondering what or how the vagus nerves fits into that whole process. Any thoughts?
Yes. Because of the vagus nerve being the 10th nerve out of the grouping of 12 nerves that come out of the spinal cord, where the, you know, the base of the head, it any type of whiplash, any type of things like that would be right in there. I am going to list off and then give to Joan the point for each of the systems of the body. And the most common and the most one that would be for anything that would be headaches or anything like that is gallbladder 20. And if you go to the back of your head where your spine is and go to the highest point in that divot, that will be gallbladder 20. And then just a few distances out onto the muscle would be gallbladder 21. And those are the ones that are most prevalent for any type of headaches and anxiety and those types of points.
Okay, thank you. I'll look into that some more.
I'm just going to kind of go down the list here as long as we're on that. And I will get, most of you probably have a chart for the points. That's why I'm going to give them to you in relationship to the acupuncture points. Your conceptual vessel, the one that you want to use, would be number 17. The governing vessel would be number 24. So, the liver, which would be LV, would be number 11. The gallbladder, which works with all the headaches and stuff, would be number 20 and 21. The heart is number 7. The triple heater, triple warmer, would be number 15. The small intestines is SI-19. Pericardium would be pericardium 3 and pericardium 6. The stomach would be stomach 36. The spleen would be number 16. The lung is lung 1. The large intestines would be large intestines 4 and large intestines 14. The kidney would be kidney 27. And the bladder would be bladder 10 or bladder 21. I found the most used, a lot of this came out of a book called Pressure Potent Points by Michael Reed Gosh. And in this one, it's a guide to self-care and pressure points to use. And so from there, I took the ones that were most commonly used in all of our crisis, you know, what I call the crisis situations, the ones that would be for, like I say, stress and anxiety. I did the ones that were for... the vagus nerve, when triggering the spleen, sends the chemical that deals with all the arthritis symptoms, so you can stop the inflammation response. And then also all the ones for the immune system, because we shut down in our fight and flight levels all of the things that go towards supplying the nutrition and making all the hormones and doing all those types of things when we are in fight and flight. That's why it's so important to get ourselves out of the fight and flight stress pattern, because you cannot be in response mechanism and be in choice. You cannot sustain that fifth dimensional body from fight and flight. And so it's the most important to maintain that piece. And then also, as I have found, that vagus nerve, being that the communication is coming, it's like a 5-lane highway. I know Jana mentioned that. You've got it coming from the organs up to the brain, and then a pathway from the brain down. That also is the same pathway for me that you develop that clairsentientness, and any of the data that's coming in from axotonal lines for our light body, any information coming from there is all going to be running through that vagus nerve as we go to taking our bodies further into activation of the light body and a less dense physicalness. Any other comments from anyone?
I would just
say
thank you.
This is Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. We're playing with this on the Sunday night study call, and one of the things that stood out to me was that vagus nerve runs right down from the medulla oblongata, and so we started running the golden nectar down this vagus nerve. And as we did that, we became aware of some stored trauma from a lot of things, but especially from the Atlantean, the fall of Atlantis. There's a lot of trauma stored in there. And we did a big clearing piece on that. Just makes a huge difference to run that golden nectar down the vagus nerve at the same time you're coming down the spine. And I've been doing that on a daily basis, and it just makes a big difference to do that also.
Yeah, I can see where that would really help. Because that fight or flight, anytime we've been traumatized for something and went into that response, I can see where we've shut everything, down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the color codes too, yeah. The olive green and the magenta, running that through there to clear that trauma out of there too. So.
Right. That was in our class number 19.
Oh, was it? Okay.
When El Moria was speaking, I think it's on the PDF was, I think, about page 4. He was talking about the color codes of the magenta and the olive, and that's where he mentioned us to do the research on the vagus nerve, and that's also where he mentioned the seed crystals and the recorder crystal and the almagada for our memory piece that we need to spend more time on.
Yeah. Did you mean the amygdala?
Amygdala. I can never pronounce it. Get my own pronunciation. Languaging is really a challenge some days.
Oh, I have that too. I can't recall the simplest words sometimes. They're just gone.
So,
it's amazing to me.
Go
ahead.
Oh, go ahead, Joe.
It's amazing to me how we store negative emotions in that lower third, fourth, beginning stages of fifth dimension, we're so able to store those feelings from long time past and draw them up in an instant when anything looks or feels like a similar situation. And yet we have a hard time accessing the more positive emotions such as joy, appreciation, love, those types of things, because we don't have that same connection. And I think as we start working with these ascending and descending energies and start to redevelop the function of places like the vagus nerve, that very central nerve, part of the nervous system, as well as the amygdala and different parts of the brain, the neurology, that is going to change our ability to use the mental emotional body much differently and recall events that stimulate the recall of those positive emotions.
I think I heard somebody else in the background. Was that?
Yeah. Hi, Charlotte. Thanks, John. Thank you. It's Jana. What I'm finding is I've developed a relationship, a personal relationship. It may sound silly to say, but a personal relationship with the vagus nerve through dialoguing with it. And it seems to be very amenable to conversation. And what I've been noticing in the last maybe 3 or 4 weeks with doing that and setting my sleep space is that there's a lot of Atlantis stuff that's passing through the sleep state. And I'm aware of it and just witness to it. And I recognize that the vagus nerve, you know, we think of it in terms of, I mean, we have a heartbeat because of the vagus nerve. We breathe because of the vagus nerve. You know, it innervates to every organ. And runs the gut, the solar plexus, the sacred heart, and the brain or neurology all into a unity space. But you can imagine that when we're sleeping, that autonomic function is just free because we're not doing our everyday menial tasks, shall we say, of interfacing with the third dimensional density. So the vagus nerve becomes free in a much vaster way.
And that's why it's so important that we are aware of clearing out any of the, I call it shut down, get your foot off the hose.
You
that we have created from the traumas.
Yeah.
And so that it can flow and be effective, because we are going to bring these things up, but it's up to us to then release that and let that go.
Yeah,
I
want
to move on to the seed crystals and that, so we don't run out of time.
Yeah.
And like I say, in Elmoria's statement on in our class 19, he was talking about the color codes and the magenta and the olive green, and referred to that having to do with the seed crystals. Well, not sure if you all are remembering where those seed crystals are, so I'll just give you a brief review. The seed crystals is one above each of your eye, right by the eyebrow, and then you have one that's just below the hairline, right in the middle that lines up with your nose. And that creates a triangle, but then there is a crystal that's over your eyes, forming into a tetrahedron, but it's in the etheric and not in the head. And so you get that tetrahedron that draws the undifferentiated light through the column and creates the inner relationship with the etheric body and the physical body. It also creates a interrelationship merging the Christed oversoul as it becomes anchored into the body. And this information's coming out of the MA when we did, this is my class, which would have been the live class, and it was class 72. The seed crystal helps activate that eye of the Horus at different frequencies and bandwidths, and that's what I was seeing as we were adding these color codes, the magenta especially. These crystals were lighting up completely differently in my body. So does anyone else have had any experience with that since we've started running these colors?
Charlotte, could you clarify where that fourth crystal is? I've forgotten that part.
Okay.
You said above the eye.
The fourth one is in the etheric. Back up here. So you've got the three that are the forehead, hairline, I mean, above the eyebrows, the hairline. And the other one is...
where the pineal is.
Right. But no, it's about that level, but it's in the it's higher.
It's if you project pineal up, so that's what it is, will be the top. It's like a fourth eye. Not the third eye, it's a fourth eye. It's an etheric. And after that,
so
it
basically
goes to
if
this.
You would draw the triangle from your two eyebrows to your hairline, go for the middle of the triangle. So it's above your third eye, the fourth one, but it's out into your etheric body in order to get that form of the tetrahedron.
And you said that was less than 72?
Pardon?
You said that was less than 72?
That was less than 72 in MA way
in MA,
back.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Friedrich, all right, thank you.
Friedrich
Scher out of Germany gave us this nice list that gave us everything that on those kinds of things in the what the class is. That's what I always appreciated, the notation as to the class when it was. So then,
can I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Don't mean to interrupt.
No.
This is Kelly again. I thought I remembered being taught in MA about a seed crystal that was above the ear.
That's the quarter cell.
The quarter cell, that's what it was. Sorry, you're right.
That'll be the next one. First, I want to talk about the seed crystals. If anybody's had any experience or seeing what these colors are doing to it, then we'll go on to the recorder.
Thank you.
I think most of the time we're busy with whatever our class is about, and we don't always look at some of these other things that are greatly being enhanced and changing as we're adding the different codes, and especially that a sixth-dimensional template.
I think that sixth-dimensional template has such a huge effect on our whole energetic system. And what I've noticed personally in my space, when those color codes got activated, especially that magenta color code, that those seed crystals lit up And also, if you remember, there we did back in MA where the flame in the pineal and the flame in the sacred heart was joined together so that there was communication between the sacred heart center and the pineal. And I noticed in my field that that flame was also magenta. So I don't know exactly what that means, but all of the seed crystal, the recorder cell, everything started to come online in a much different frequency bandwidth that we had never been able to experience before. And I bring that all back to that six-dimensional light template.
Thank you.
So I'd be interested in hearing if anybody else had, you know, a similar awareness.
Hi, this is Jana. What I've noticed with the magenta is, for me, it has shifted from the initial introduction to it. And at this point, it has such, it's a little hard to describe, but it maintains its magenta color. But at the same time, it's possible within that to see all of the different colors and a lot of white, clear light even that comes as I don't know if you'd call it a texture or a tone with it, but there's a clarity to the magenta at this point for me that that holds all of the colors at the same time, and our perception of, or for me, the perception of separating colors has kind of dropped off and fallen away, and I think it's allowing the presence of it all to just be there in an entirety. And also in the last month or so, my perception of the indigo color code has completely shifted. Previous to that, it was very dark, almost, very, very dark in color. And now it's full of white light, which is, you know, sounds a bit like a contradiction, but for some reason it's not.
Thank you. Anybody else have comment? No more comments on the seed crystals? I just sense that as we are with that six-dimensional template and then going to draw into the seventh next, that will be even changing even more. And that's why they're having us pay a little more attention to that, bring it to our awareness so we can kind of watch what's going on. Okay, the recorder cell. The recorder cell is over your right ear. It is in the etheric body. And the recorder cell transmits a cell of light, crystalline light. It's larger than the seed crystals. The purpose of the cell is to receive energetic information from various star systems or planetary systems who operate in the Christ consciousness, of which the ones that you have navigated into those realms at different times. And the recorder cell can transmit also. It's a receiver and a transmitter. so that you can receive different states of consciousness from various coatings of light and various geometry flows, and can also help with us with the language of light as we become more aware of the languaging. So my question to everybody on the recorder crystal is, what's your ringtone? Have you set it up? Many people, I think, know it there, but I'm not sure if you're getting your messages. It's kind of like having your message box on your phone. You have to have some kind of a code. Or if you've got it on silence, you need to go check it. And I'm not sure exactly how you have developed that. For me, it was kind of like having email. In my recorder cell, I would feel like I had Earth emails. I had A-mails, which was from the angels, and S-mails from the soul, and I-mails from intergalactic. And now if we're going to be focusing on the inner Earth, I'll have IE for inner Earth mails. For me, some of my signals, if I wasn't paying attention and picking up my messages, which I'm not always good at even in the physical world, they would always show me a feather. And so when I found a feather in places where you wouldn't be looking for a feather, like sitting on your chair or, in the car, that was usually my signal that I hadn't picked up my angelic emails for a while and my messages. So I want to see if there's anybody else who's got any comment of how they've been connecting and getting their messages from their recorder cell. No comments?
Hi, Shalati. This is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi. I have been noticing lately different frequencies in the ringing in the air. So sometimes it's a very... steady tone quality. Other times it's a little bit more staticky, and there's others, and I'm beginning to pay attention to those. I'm not quite certain what it means, and it's very clearly out of the right ear. So that's what I have. And any time another consciousness speaks to me, it's always, I'm always feeling it on the right side in my head, or I feel a presence on the right side of my face. But it's interesting how I'm paying more attention to the tones in my ear and how they're changing.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I found on some of mine. Were more sensations on that side of the head, and I learned to say hello, just like picking up the phone, and then see what telepathic stuff came in. Sometimes we just don't take the time to do that, and I always say it's kind of like we ask a question and then we don't think we're getting an answer, and it's like, well, did you go back and check your mail? Yeah. If you've got questions hanging out there that you don't seem you're getting the answers on, maybe you are. You just aren't picking up the answer, especially if we ask the question and then, don't stay put to get the answer in the moment and we bounce away. they'll often show up there.
Hello, Charlotte Tay, this is Sandy.
Hello.
I just want to say that when the frequencies increase or there's a wave of energy that comes through, which seems to be every few days, where the energy sort of shifts and starts increasing in frequency, both my ears will have very high-pitched ringing. And so I know, I can notice that that's when we're getting sort of a shift or an upgrade happening, like a wave of light coming through full of information. I haven't been able to pick up on what exactly that information is. However, when it's just above the right ear and the ringing is very loud, sometimes I'll ask, well, who's sending the message? And then a picture of the person or sometimes one of my animals or an animal will come through. And I ask a few more questions, and then I can kind of decipher what it's about. And then in real life, I will check, and sure enough, you know, something either happened to my horse or something was going on with one of my kids or another person, and that, sure enough, that was it. I haven't gotten any intergalactic messages lately or anything. So anyway, that was just what I wanted to add.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rosemary.
Hi, it's Kathy. I've noticed the ringing in the ears also, and what comes to my attention is to pay attention to either what I was saying or thinking. It's like they're getting my attention, drawing it to what was either being thought or said. So it's a two-way communication.
Yes, it is two-way.
Yeah. So it's just having that awareness that it's happening, and then I'll pay attention to whatever it was I was thinking or saying. And I don't really know who it's from. I haven't really asked in particular. Mm-hmm. I've just noted it and was happy to receive.
I got used to that working with Metatron. This was way before MA or anything else. Back in those days, it was like a bad cell phone call because I'd get one word, and then I'd be trying to figure it out, and I felt like I was playing hot potato, cold potato to get the rest of the rest of it figured out if I was on the right track.
The other thing that I just wanted to bring up, as you were saying that, I feel very often it's downloading, and I don't necessarily have to know what it is. And also, I want to mention the Trillium from Tom Kenyon. I think that's really powerful now to listen to that and let that communicate with us, with the light that we're working with as well. So I've been doing that quite a bit, and I feel phenomenal when I do that.
That would be sound codes.
Yes, exactly.
And most people don't know that color has a sound. So
mm-hmm. We do intuitively.
Yeah. Most of this is in a remembrance category.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have a base to this, but, you know, running around with that bag over your head, you haven't gotten a whole lot of clarity.
Mm.
And as we're starting to up our frequency where we can, it's an exciting to know that this, some of this stuff can come through with a much improved level.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary.
Hi. I just wanted to talk about the location of the recorder cell, because I have a spot in my head that as a child I used to make the joke and say that I had an antenna to talk with the Martians, like that there was that television program, My Uncle Martian or something like that, My Uncle Martin. I don't know, and these little TV antennas came up from his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a spot in my head, which I always thought was an antenna. And actually, I think it probably is. However, it's higher than I remember them saying where the recorder crystal is located.
Well,
and I do feel it now being activated as a physical pressure on my head, and it's in that same spot.
Mm-hmm.
So does anybody else have an opinion about where it is, or is it different on different people? Or
well, it's going to be above the right ear, but mine does not touch my ear. Mine is higher on that side.
Okay, and do you feel it?
Do I feel when information's coming in? Yeah.
Yes, you feel like pressure, tingling sensations.
Oh, I can feel that. I can feel like somebody zapped me. A little zing.
Right.
That's usually a big packet of information. I'm going, oops, download.
Yes, I am.
They look at later because it's usually a little more.
That's how my experience is also, that I'm not aware as it's happening that necessarily there's a specific piece of information. I think it comes to my awareness after.
And sometimes when people say that I just download it, some of this our rational brain cannot wrap itself around. Our higher consciousness, our knowingness, what I call my emotional intelligence, it gets it, but my rational brain is not in the game.
Right.
Sometimes I can translate it to the rational brain, but we have a hard time putting words to the emotions and the sensations and the vibrations, and there's just not words form in our language.
Exactly. It's more abstract.
Hi, this is Kelly again.
Hi, Kelly.
Hey, so a couple things came up since you guys started talking about the recorder cell. The first thing is that most of my life I've had information that just comes to me. It just comes into my mind, and as I'm putting my attention to those events, I'm realizing that it's always wanted to come in to the right. And I'm wondering if that was me receiving information through the recorder cell and just not realizing it. People in my past have called me clairsentient. I didn't really know what that meant. I just know that sometimes information just comes to me, and I've noticed that I never look left. I always look up and to the right when I've got something coming in. And the other thing is, in the last several months, I got a hold of about a 1 pound Anchi rock crystal. And he sits next to me here at my home, and he just told me, I call him he just told me he's been wanting to communicate to me through this recorder cell, and I find that interesting. And he is apparently a being somewhere else in the, I don't know exactly where, star system, and he communicates, he's trying to communicate to me through the Anchi and then apparently through my recorder cell. Now, does that sound like out there, or does that sound reasonable?
Nope, that sounds very reasonable.
Okay. He calls himself, by the way, Star Commander. I thought you might appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to start paying more attention to my recorder, so.
Good. Let us know later what information you get. Thank you. Any other comments? No more comments at the moment? Okay, then I think I will jump to my next question. And that has to do with our class we just had. And has to do with the inner earth levels. Now, I know we had some exchange and participation and that in our conference. So when they brought this information back up to we're going to be working with it now, has anybody been doing anything or have any other experience with any of the inner earth realms since our conference or even before? Is there anybody that's had any of that you're willing to share? I'll go ahead and share the one I've had. To me, inner earth has been a reality for a long time. When I started doing my multidimensional stuff, back in the 90s, when I start working with Metatron, Melchizedek, and Michael, I call them the 3M company, and then Cryon with the magnetic piece, and that was in the early 90s, as interdimensional, coming as a commander flying into the earth, I would fly into Mount Shasta. And in Mount Shasta is one of the access points to inner earth, and it's like a vertical city. That's why it's often referred to as levels. When I would fly in, it would be like flying into a airstrip, and on that airstrip having a hotel that you'd go to the elevator, and then you'd go to whatever level you were coming to meet for. So whether you were going to Telos, the Lemurian, meeting with the luminaries, or the Andaras, there's also a level that is for Ashtar Command in Mount Shasta. So it was very, that's why you also ever see some of the pictures around Mount Shasta. You often can see the circular clouds of the ships very much held there. So this will be very interesting to have us spend more time bringing this information in and building that relationship with these different inner earth.
No, my experience has changed since they gave us this unifying process. At the, I think it was the conference 2 years ago, they told us we had a counterpart in Telos. And at the time, I can't really remember that being that big of an experience for me. But when they gave us this unifying process and I started practicing connecting with Telos, I immediately became aware of a being called Telluride. And I knew I'd heard that name before, and I Googled it, and all I could come up with was a ski resort in Colorado. but he's still coming. He still insists his name's Telluride. So he's hanging around quite a bit, and I really can't remember any communication that he's given me. He's told me a few things and given me information when I needed it. But I know he's going to be working with me quite a bit. And I'm enjoying as we do that unifying process to spend some time with those different communities, with Telos, with Lemurians, with the Andarans, the Luminaries, and it's quite an experience. And we're done with this topic. I got one more thing I'd like to talk about, that unifying process, if you don't mind, Charlotte.
No, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to tell about my experience with the unifying process is, the way he walked us through the meditation, Metatron walked us through the meditation, was we do our loop, we loop our lower four chakras, and then we bring the soul star down, and then we direct our earth star to dock into the earth soul star, and then they told us to loop those four chakras again and undock the soul star. Well, when I loop those four chakras the second time, and when I get up to the heart, the energy just keeps coming up. It's like a fountain of light, and it comes up into that second triad and joins with the light that we're creating there. And I'm just finding that just to be an amazingly powerful experience. And it's just, it reminds me of the line in Kuthumi's prayer, I'm a living fountain of light, and that's what it feels like. It just feels like it's just a fountain of light just flowing up through me. And so I've been tuning into that quite a bit, and it's happened multiple times when I do the meditation. So maybe people would like to pay attention and see if that's happening for you too.
Well, and I think that's part of the intention is for us to get this light flowing through our being at a, what I want to say, use the word higher volume.
Mm-hmm.
Than we were.
That works for me.
Were before, and
mm-hmm.
because we're taking this up another notch. This I know we ain't parking here.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right.
It's kind of like learning how to drive a car. Okay, we're doing 25 really good. Now we've done 50. Okay, now we're going to go to the Autobahn.
mm-hmm.
But to be able for you to handle and I don't want to say the word be comfortable. I want to say more the word be familiar and aware of what it is to be. Working at that flow level.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like driving a car, it's different when you pick up the speed. And I think that's what we definitely are going to be doing more of. And if we get comfortable with the inner earth, then maybe some of the intergalactic will be easier for people.
Yeah.
Develop.
Well, the other thing we do is, they have us, bring the fourth triad into the third triad and into the second triad and into the first. So basically, I just visualize that 11 chakra is right there in my cranium, and I'm just pulling the undifferentiated light straight into, the second triad. And now with this earth energy flowing up in there and all that light. And I really think that we need to set our sights higher. I've been working on it. I try to just see this torrents of light. I just really want to create massive amounts of light, draw in massive amounts of light. I think we need to make the changes that we need to. I think we're still working with just like a little trickle.
Well, and as we're doing that and then running that through the Ark of the Covenant and through your
mm-hmm.
whole tube torus, the energy, magnetic
yeah.
field that's around your physical heart, and moving it through all the different bodies, I know our physical body is always the one that handles, you know, I call it, it's the slower one in my body systems. So it doesn't handle the light as well as some of the other fields, you know, can.
Yeah.
And so it's like trying to get, you know, get this physical body up to speed here a little bit at a time, because I don't, because we have to do all of the systems in the physical body, not just one, in order to stay balanced. Some are a little slower than others.
Right. Yeah. And it's physical and it's dense. You know, so and that's why we need a lot of light and a lot of energetics. It's going to take quite a bit to raise this 3D body up into 5D.
Well, and I think it's easiest on my body anyway if I take it up in, you know, increments. You know, those 20% jumps at a time, not just try to, you know, go full blast right off, and then find out where the too much too fast. I always say you can tell right where the stuff is stuck, or which system can't sustain it, and then you drop out or crash, or at least it feels it's easier for me on my physical body not to crash it, because then it feels like it takes too much to get it back up to speed. It wants to shift.
I hear you.
Yeah. And so I like to keep it kind of steady and then move it up a little and let it steady up there and then move it up a little on some of that. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I'm wondering if you've noticed that there is a building within the body from these, this unifying process has been tremendous in not only unifying the entire physical system, but unifying all parts of us. And it's this ascending and descending motion, the ascending from the inner earth, that 12th dimensional frequency range that the earth was originally designed to emit, and then you've got that soul star energy coming in through the crown continually. So you've got this ascending and descending current within the body and massive amounts of light from both ends, and it meets in the heart, the sacred heart, so that you've got this constant influx that you can adjust as needed from both directions, from the soul star, which is a massive energetic vortex of the purity of your soul spirit. So it's equally as dynamic, if not more so, than what's coming from that inner earth community. Of course, you have, you know, communities of luminaries that are far beyond that 12th dimensional level that hold Christ consciousness within the earth. But I'm just wondering if anybody has felt that kind of motion with that ascending and descending light currents.
The feeling that I get is a stability factor.
Mm-hmm.
Everything feels, the energy is flowing and it feels much more stable.
Right. Balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Joan, I'll add a little bit to that, because that was so powerful, the way you said that. It was exactly what I was experiencing. This is Imhotep. And it just, and I think why we need the Earth Star is because that is what I feel is grounding us, you know, to the earth and giving the earth back that energy. Because, yes, yeah, I think it is more powerful coming from the soul star. And when you get that energy from the soul star, you're just filling your heart space with that and with the with that that's coming from the earth star. And
yeah.
Your body just gets so filled up. And I look at the vagus nerve is really, you're able to transfer. I look at it as basically a highway to all the organs of the body.
Yeah.
And even getting into the cells of the body, you know, because at the end of the day, it's about transformation right mm-hmm. to the light body. So the more you can hold that energy, as powerful as that energy is, then you're transforming the body to the light body and to the fifth, to that fifth dimension.
I
so extremely powerful. And I think that this exercise, that very one, what do you call it, the unifying exercise?
Mm-hmm.
Something that we should practice. It seems to me like that's the practice that we should have in our quiet time on a daily basis, at least every other day.
Yeah.
Because that is the that's the power. I think that's what it's boiling down to me. And I just started reading the article, the book, the Telos book that one of the members put on. Very, very exciting, you know, about Adama and the fight between the Atlanteans basically and the Marians and how they saved 25,000. They went under the earth, and I think they're about a couple million now. But they're starting to communicate with a lot of us and even coming from the earth and talking. And they're having conversations. This whole book is about a dictation that they've had, conversations that they've had with people that were really meditating around Mount Shasta. So mm-hmm. so many beautiful things going on right now, and it's just our energy is helping to build, you know, this, I don't know if you want to call it a gateway or just bringing the whole consciousness, you know, of the planet. So these other beings, higher beings, are not, you know, can approach us without us being in fear. So
right.
we're just part of trying to bring in that community by raising the consciousness of the planet. So that's my
Hi.
Comment.
Hello.
So on 11/11, I was actually in Mount Shasta, and I met Diane Roberts, who wrote that book.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's so cool to see it kind of come full circle. And she autographed it and everything, but it was interesting. Originally, we were going to meet, and she was going to give it. And then she called. She said, well, call me. And then we talked outside our house, and then she invited me in her home. And I'll never forget it because in her home was a painting of Adama.
Oh,
and
wow.
it has always stayed with me, and I took pictures and everything. Unfortunately, it was with one of my old phones. You know how you kind of, if you didn't back up the phones, you lost the pictures?
Yeah.
So I don't know that I have it anymore, but I feel like sometimes I communicate, like you're talking about, with Adama, kind of comes through in the dream time. And I feel we have that ability to connect with them and even visit and see. And I think when we read this book, it brings it all back to us.
Yeah,
whether it's the transportation or the way they grow things, or it's really cool.
And that's part of that remembering process. If I always say, it'd be like all of us have gone to the conference. And if I say, oh, remember what the view looked like when we were, over there looking at that lookout over the valley, right away in our head brings that whole picture. And that's part of the remembering process. You can read something and all of a sudden it'll trigger all kinds of other things around it. And that's why any information that we can find and share helps that remembering process.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
She also wrote a book about to the trees and then the crystals too. So I think that's kind of important with everything that we're doing too with the elementals.
And
they said when you go to sleep in your etheric body, you can just ask Adama for permission to enter into the and maybe you just don't remember. You know what I mean? But they said ask and it shall be given. So ask the Dharma, can you enter Mount Shasta? And at night when you go to sleep, your etheric body will go and visit, and you're communicating with them. So even though you might not be consciously aware of it, you might be having these meetings and doing those things, just like the presenter just said that she was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that reminds me of one time when I was actually at a conference at Mount Shasta, and I was with other friends, and we're out bumming around somewhere, and I just enter one of the entranceways, and they were with me, and there were other people who could see, and later she says, "Didn't you see the Sasquatch? You didn't ask permission to enter." And I said, "Because of who I am, I have clearance." So we do the protocol that the other people in the group was expecting when they saw a Sasquatch.
Next time you get in there, come get me.
You know? So it's just that I normally would come flying in and you know, come from that direction. I rarely had come through the physical doorway from the outer world. And then I'm going, "Oh, yeah, well, I saw, yeah." You know, but I... You know, it's kind of, you know, my commander status, they just acknowledge me and nothing, you know, a nod of the head and that's all I get, you know.
Yeah, knowing this thing I've is huge. Clearance. This thing is so huge. It's so huge. I mean, just unbelievable.
Pardon?
I say this thing is so huge. You're talking about Ashtar Command and there's millions of starships up there above. Like we're in the middle. Ashtar Command is above us, and then Shasta is below us. And all this energy, all this light energy, trying to rain down on us for us to become more conscious. So it's just so much going on, and so many beings that are trying to help us get where we need to be.
Yes, because we sometimes forget how important these steps are and where it can take us.
Yeah, how important we are, how big we are.
Yeah, and how significant we're doing is in the further picture of things, because we can't see that.
Yeah, because we keep looking at ourselves as a physical body.
Yeah, we haven't.
And as long as we look at ourselves as that physical body, that's small, instead of that just being a physical experience. You know what I mean? You see yourself as light and expansive through the universe, that your thoughts travel, and there's no time or space.
Yeah, get to the full essence of who you really are. Your I am.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, if we start to see our physical bodies, I think the shift to a fifth-dimensional physical body is one of developing a new perspective, a new way of viewing it, a new relationship, if you will. You start to see the Milky Way inside your physical body. You start to see the central sun in your solar center, and see the Syrian Archangelic League, Anrata, the channeling of those cosmic energies through the great central sun into our solar plexus, merged with the Sacred Heart. It's hard to define our physical bodies the way we've been accustomed to defining them. You know, as we've been third dimensionally, but if we start to understand that, you know, as within, so without, as above, so below, but also within and without, that that vastness that they keep telling us that we are, you know, entertaining the axial spin points as those cosmic channels of communication. You know, it when I find that I sit and tune into that, the boundaries of my physical body disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But yet the form remains. So,
It's like physics, right? It's like what is matter? Is it a particle or is it a wave? And based on experiment, it depends on the observer. So it depends on your perspective. And what we're changing is our perspective of who we are.
And when we change that frequency, then you can get into what I call phase, when everything physical around you goes into that liquid luminescent phase.
Right.
Phase, okay, yeah.
Yeah, it shimmers. The light is shimmering. It's, you know, it's in flux and...
At a certain frequency, my walls in my house, when you said your boundaries phase, you know, there is not... The walls were literally a phase for me.
Uh-huh. And that doesn't need to be an out-of-body experience either.
Oh,
I think
it's
that's
not.
What we're getting. It's a very grounding experience, but more in our true light. Well, we've been selling ourselves short for a long time, for good reason.
Well,
but
time
to let that go.
And to be functional, I feel like I'm turning into what I call a hybrid. I have this mass amount of light that I use. It's like having a car that runs on electric, but I also still have to maintain a certain level of my physicality or I can't function. And I'll drop the body, and that's not the plan. So
yeah.
I'm having to maintain both pieces in balance.
Yeah, it's a dance.
And it's a development. We definitely aren't there yet, but we sure are further down the line than we were before.
Mm-hmm.
And these openings like this,
the process,
the 11 and 11 in the next piece are just massive.
Yeah.
So I have something I'd like to do to close this, since my little ticky says that we're almost at an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Can I add one thing?
Sure.
I didn't want to interrupt. I remember the solstice, and every solstice, there was a karmic board that used to meet in Telos. Do you guys remember that?
A what?
Yeah.
The karmic board.
Oh.
Jim used to always bring our attention to the karmic board meeting.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I was hearing something in the background. I wasn't sure.
Yeah, it was a teleconference, not a karmic board, just a teleconference. Anyways, if you remembered, I used to love going into meditation and bringing as much stuff as I could to present time. And just remembering that karmic board. And now, I don't know if there's still a karmic board or not, but I remember going to Telos. And I could feel myself. I could just close my eyes and go back. And it was almost like a big hall. And, you know, so I get transported back to that. And as I look at it now... I don't see anybody there. I feel a presence, but I don't see people all over the place and whatever. But I just thought I'd mention that because that kind of popped in, and there was somebody that posted. I don't remember who posted in Seeding the Divine. Somebody who was talking about Telos, and it was really cool because the Dhamma came in and was channeled through her. And was telling us all about what it looks like in that fifth dimensional space. What does it look like in Telos? How do they live? How's the family structure and all that? And like you guys were saying, when you put your attention on it, you know, like those packets of information open up and you can relate and you can remember. And it felt so familiar. and warm and loving, and I became very much aware, and I've been to bring all that information here and then to go back and forth, kind of like ascending descending. It's like for me it becomes kind of like an intention. It's like, oh, how wonderful. I can't wait till that happens. I can't wait to live in that world and, you know, it to come here or me to go to it or, you know, I mean, it and there isn't any really thought of controlling it, just observing what in that field of possibility. Anyways, I'm enjoying the work, although I have not connected with individual beings. I feel the energy of the presence that's there, and I am looking forward to developing that interconnection with more than just one being. And Joe, I know you said that you have one counterpart in that, but I mean, it feels like it's a collective that I'm sensing, not any individual. So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I love you. And this has been a great call, Charlotte. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
So
I'm done now.
Are we getting any other comments before I close? Okay. This is a little closing thing. It kind of goes with the vagus nerve. One of the things that, believe it or not, can activate the vagus nerve is with your hands. But with your hands, there's a massage one that I use to help clear things. And then I'll tell you the points at the end. This massage thing came from Mary Helen Conway. She does a thing called Life's a Daring Adventure, and I'm not done yet, are you? And it's all about for seniors and what are you choosing to do. So I met her at one of the senior centers when I was doing Rocks 101 for them. And this is a self-massage for your hands. And what you do is when you massage, it says hold your own hand. I'm holding the phone, so I can't do that real well. But and you take and you massage your thumb, and as you're gently massaging your thumb, you massage out all the sadness and all the grief so you can allow joy to come in. And then you go to the next one, your index finger, and there you massage all the fear out, so that you can allow courage into your life. And you move to your middle finger, and you massage all the anger away, so that you can feel peace. And your ring finger, you massage all the worry and the anxiety away, so you can be calm. And then your pinky, your little finger, you massage all your lack of self-esteem, so you don't belittle anymore, so you can feel confidence. And in one of the things that I was looking up on the vagus nerve, if you put all of your fingers tips together so that all five are touching the other five, you create a circuitry from the left to the right side of your body. Then if you put your fingers, your palms together, you can feel, you know, I don't know about you, but I have a lot of energy that comes out of that the chakra that's in the palm of my hand. You can feel that. Then put your fingers together, and that puts your hands in prayer position, and you can feel all the circuitries start to roll. Because as soon as you put all of your knuckles together, when you put your fingers together, it sends a signal right up to the brain. And the different tips of your fingers are running different systems because of the meridians that are there. You know, just
like your lung comes off your thumb, your large intestines comes off your index finger, your pericardium, the energy sac around the heart comes off your longest finger, your triple warmer comes off your ring finger, and your heart and small intestines comes off your little finger. So you've got all those circuitries of your meridians with their upflow and downflow. They're coming off your hands that then connect in your head and run the ones that run down your body and up your body. So you start running your whole loops of your meridians at the same time. So thank you all. I will get some
thank
of the
you.
Information to Joan. And if you have any questions, we're on Facebook. So bounce me a message or something.
Thank you, Charlotte. This was a wonderful session, and thank you for everyone who contributed and voiced. I think it was a really wonderful session.
Yeah, I think Charlotte did a great job. I think I'd like to see a standing ovation, please. Yay!
It's fun. I love to share.
Well, you did very, very well. Thank you.
And it brought our attention to a lot of things that we have put on the back burner since we learned about the seed crystals and the recorder cell, and all of that's been quite some time ago. And now it's bringing it back into our awareness at a more dynamic function so
and
that
I,
we can support our light body.
Yes, and we can take, I call everything's needs an uptick here.
Yeah.
And that's what us integrating that six-dimensional template has enabled, and now we get to start, I want to say, applying it and developing it. And
right.
And go from there. And the memory of some of this, that's my own personal awareness of knowing that I'm a interdimensional, multidimensional, intergalactic connecting point. So this stuff has been in my world for a long time, and it's amazing. And the memory that comes in is, and what's so much fun now is I have a group of people that I can share this with.
Yeah.
And not be thought I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and should be calling the white coats.
Yeah. Well, we thank you for sharing,
yeah.
Charlotte, and leading this discussion. It was marvelous. So we will bid everyone farewell and see you in a couple of weeks.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.